The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm back. I'm Marlo Verne, and this is What Happened in Skinner. A lot's happened. Let me catch you up. I hadn't quite finished my final sign-off when the emergency alert went off on my phone. Winter storm warning. Ferry service canceled until further notice. I was planning to leave Skinner for good the next morning. Turns out, I wasn't going anywhere. So, I just waited for a week. Sitting on the bed, refreshing the weather forecast every 30 seconds. The town's website's been down since the earthquake, so every day I walked down to the pier to see if the ferry was running, and every day, for one reason or another, it wasn't. For the first time in 2 months, I didn't spend Monday night frantically finishing an episode. And as Tuesday came and went, I couldn't even bring myself to open Discord. But then...
Hey, Whispers. Oh, not who you were expecting. Well, it seems like your host backed out, so... I'm your new host, Imogen Fowler. Not too much happening on Skinner this week, other than the storms closing in, but... don't worry. Next week's gonna be very big. We'll be back for the alignment.
Hey.
Hey.
Are you doing okay?
Sure. You know, fine. Just waiting for the ferry to get rescheduled.
Can I stop by the motel? I have something for you.
Sure.
Great. I'm outside now.
I'll come right down.
Rex was parked outside in the island light van. On the seat next to him was... Is that my laptop?
I want to apologize. When I said I couldn't always be a perfect judge of character, well, I expect better from Imogen.
So, what, she just gave my laptop back to you?
She wasn't happy with me, I'll tell you that. But I am her magister. She cares a lot. This doesn't excuse it, obviously, but she's so dedicated to our plans. She doesn't always think things all the way through. And especially when you said you were ending the podcast, right when everything's almost ready for the alignment. I should have guessed it was her before she made it so obvious. Have you thought more about the podcast?
I mean, it's over.
I'm really sorry, Marlo, that this had to get so hard for you.
Well, I'm not the one who lost so much.
I never would have reculed Susan if there was another way.
I mean, wasn't there? Imogen breaks in while I'm asleep, steals my laptop, maybe hexes me, and she's just, what, misguided? But you couldn't have protected Susan?
I did protect her. The bad she attracted could come back to her as easily as anyone else, possibly more so. I couldn't let that happen. Susan is extremely powerful. And conjuring, especially near the alignment when everything's stronger, is really, really dangerous. But look, I won't protect Imogen from the consequences of her actions.
Right.
How's Susan? Have you talked to her?
No.
Can I ask a favor?
Maybe.
Stay through the alignment? It's only a few more days now.
At this point, I might not have a choice.
Historic things are happening. Sure, it's not going to be this huge ceremony, but we are opening up, letting the world in, partly thanks to you. The day after the alignment, I'm opening Catalyst as the new epicenter of Orimana. I'm going to restore Orimana to what it was meant to be. No elites, no bending the rules, and bring it to anyone who wants to actualize their potential. I can't think of a better way for the world to see that than through you.
I can't, Rex. I can't. Not after what I've done to Susan, to Greg, and Sean, and...
I think Greg's starting to get back on his feet a little.
You do?
Yeah. At least I'm hopeful. And look, it's been hard, sure. But we can still make good things happen.
I told you. I can't.
I recorded all this just in case you want it. Here, take it too. It's yours.
Thanks. Bye, Rex. As the week dragged on, with no news on the ferry, I got more and more restless. Until eventually, out of boredom as much as loneliness, I found myself talking to my recorder as I made my daily pilgrimage to the pier. Yep, the afternoon ferry was canceled too. They repaved Harbor Road already. I guess the Armana money started flowing in, but I don't know when they... It's funny. What's funny, Marlo? You have no fucking idea who you're talking to right now. The next day, the rain had died down. And as I went down to check on the ferry, a few watery spots of sunlight touched the roofs. Everything seemed different. Even in all that mist, the town was brighter, more substantial. I'd heard the others talk so much about the potential Skinner had to be something greater than a rundown little fishing village, and now, for the first time, it was like I could see that potential coming into focus. When I trailed my fingers along the side of an empty old building on Main Street, it was warm to the touch. Down at the marina, the ferry was finally coming in from Florence, but my attention was grabbed by the water beneath it, which had turned a murky, sickening crimson. Two small clusters of people stepped off the boat. A group of teenagers with spiked hair and combat boots, and a second group that looked out of place on the rusted ramp. All crisp wool coats and elegant dark suitcases. The Inherited. At their head was a blonde woman in a black fur cap. As she crossed the dock, she examined the blood-red water.
Isn't that something?
I've never seen anything like it.
It's an algae bloom. Called a red tide. I can't think of the last time it happened here, though.
I'd imagine there have been quite a few firsts recently, haven't there? This amount of energy can ripple out in wildly unpredictable ways.
Yeah? Guess so.
Greg stood there on the pier in a raggedy old jacket. His eyes were bloodshot and he looked a little dazed, but he was there. He was okay. Hey.
Hey. Been a minute.
How are you?
You wouldn't happen to be Greg.
Sorry, Marlo. I got... Hi, that's me. Hi. Welcome to Skinner. Can I show you around?
We'd be delighted.
What I hear on the ferry about canceling service? I have some friends who're supposed to come out tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds like there's some more weather coming up.
Wait, so when is it going back to Florence?
I don't know, sorry. They usually make the call the morning of. Shall we? They usually hold off until we have a better sense of how heavy the sea's gonna get.
I suppose I appreciate the caution.
So, okay. Rex wanted me to start by showing you the Seaman's Memorial Building, which was...
I spent the next hour sitting on the dock, staring at the dormant ferry until the sun went down. As I got up to leave, I took one more look out at the harbor, where a Pacific Rock fishing boat headed out to sea, leaving a glowing trail of neon blue algae dancing in its wake. But the next day, the sky was darker, and that strange beauty was replaced by an ominous stillness. Aside from the whistle of a slight breeze, the town was almost silent. Like everything was just waiting. Down at the marina, I passed a group of sailors circling around something huge lying on the dock. As I got closer, I saw the tentacles tangled up in a mass of netting. It was a squid that must have been at least 500 pounds. Sure enough, the ferry was down. Again. On the way back, I passed the small beach next to Sadie's. Thousands of large, shimmering fish were scattered dead on the sand. As night fell, the storm began to hit. It got louder and louder until I could feel the whole building shaking in the wind. I was lying in bed, head under the covers, staring at the row of lightning bolts in my weather app, when a Reddit notification popped up. It was a message. Hey, Marlo. We haven't heard from you in weeks. Are you okay? You're really freaking us out in the Discord. We found something. The Aramana.org source code updated again. It's another conversation. Pasting the decryption here. Jasper? Yeah. It's done. Time to go. What did we decide about gas? We bring collateral. So that's kind of creepy. Let us know if you're alive, please. Well, shit. That, didn't help me sleep. The source code hadn't updated since the night of the live stream when Nash, who'd set it up, took a baseball bat to the head. He was still out with a TBI, at least as far as we knew. So then who was editing the code? Jasper Cook, it seemed like. And someone else.
That you, Vern?
Yeah.
Can't sleep, huh? You know, you don't have to worry about anyone else getting in.
Since the night of the break-in, Sadie had, quote-unquote, increased her security measures, which really just seemed to mean she'd gotten a little extra trigger-happy. Sure. Want me to make a fresh pot of coffee?
Just saying. I'm not going to take any chances. Already got enough bad publicity on that podcast of yours.
Yeah, well, the podcast is over, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. Is this wind normal?
You heard that too, huh? No, it ain't normal. Between you and me in 30 years, I've never heard winds like... Welp.
Hi, excuse me?
The woman I saw on the pier stepped out of the Mary Rose room, wrapped in a complicated-looking black silk robe. At the sound of her voice echoing down the hall, a few other doors opened as well.
Yes?
The power's out?
Yep.
So, do you know when it's gonna come back?
Welcome to the coast.
Well, all right. Thank you.
And with that, she glided back into her room and shut the door. The others quickly followed suit.
I had a whole slew of them check in yesterday. And weird names. Could be something worth looking into, huh?
Looks like it made enough. Sugar?
Lots.
We spent the rest of the night playing Crazy Eights by flashlight with a greasy old deck of cards and listening to the wind, which didn't let up. Sadie cheated. A lot. I pretended not to notice. Of course, the ferry was canceled the next morning. As the storm continued, I found myself just laying on the carpet of the Lusitania room. So I did what any sane person would do when doubting every single one of their life decisions. Hey, Mom.
Marla Rosever, I've been trying to pin you down for months. What are you doing that you can't pick up the phone? Oh, that's right. Running around playing with black magic and finding dead people and almost dying and telling everyone in the world about it but your own mother.
My mom is awesome and one of my best friends. But, no, I hadn't told her what I was up to out here. After I lost my job, I just wanted to be able to tell her something I'd accomplished, you know? But turns out when you start to get a lot of listeners, some of the people who find your podcast are your mom. Yeah, on top of everything else, I'm not winning any Best Daughter awards here. Mom, it's okay. I'm safe. How's your hip?
Fuck my hip. My hip is very mad and very worried.
Could you tell your hip I'm sorry?
Baby, why didn't you tell me what you were doing?
I didn't want you to worry.
I'm your mother. I'm meant to worry. It's literally my job to worry. I am now the employee of the month in worrying. Are you okay?
Physically, I'm okay.
And not physically?
Not so okay. I really messed everything up.
I binged it all. Your podcast. It's very well done, but you were the most stubborn little girl. Always asking why, like every other kid, but you just wouldn't stop. I just figured maybe you would have gotten a little more sensible with age.
Well, I think I'm done asking now. As soon as I can, I'm going home.
What do you mean, as soon as you can?
The ferry isn't running because of storms. I don't know how long it'll be.
That is not what I like to hear. You better not be going into any more caves while you wait.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm pretty much just sitting around in my hotel room.
Alone or with Susan and Greg?
Alone.
Have you talked to them?
No.
Well, maybe you ought to use what time you have left over there to make things right with your friends.
I don't know if there's any more I can do.
Of course there is. I listened to the last episode. You can't apologize to everyone in the world except them and then just leave. That's not an apology. You're better than that, Marla Rosever.
Okay, enough with the full government name. They probably don't want to see me.
I didn't realize I'd raised such a beautiful person to be so willing to give up.
I'm not giving up. I'm getting out before I cause any more damage.
And that's just fine. But that doesn't mean you can't apologize for the damage you've done. In person. No frills, even if that's scary. And then you get the fuck off that island the second there's a boat to take.
I miss you.
And my hip.
And your hip. Okay, I'm gonna say it. My mom was right. So I went down to Greg's cabin, recorder off, to apologize for real. I didn't know what to expect. When I got up there, he didn't seem drunk. His cabin was clean, and he was in the process of repairing a skylight. Even the projector was off the floor and sitting neatly on the counter. For the first time, I felt like maybe the damage I'd done wasn't irreparable. We talked for a while about things I'm not going to share here. And then Greg did something I didn't expect. He invited me to turn the recorder on. You sure?
Hey, I mean, you know, if everyone else is hijacking this thing, I might as well get my 5 minutes as host.
Ha. But, Greg, you know I'm not doing another episode. So, I don't know what...
You gotta do an epilogue.
Do I?
You're gonna let that be the end of it? Me passed out on the floor, Susan getting reculed, and Imogen taking over as host.
And me realizing that's what happens,
Marla,
when I...
Just is... I'm sorry, but... It's not about you. It's not the end of the story. You know, you gotta do one more. You gotta tell them that.
How would you... Yo, what the fuck? Standing in the doorway, covered in blood... was Susan. She stared at us with an absolutely terrifying determination in her eyes. Without a word, she walked into Greg's cabin, sat at the table, and slammed her audio recorder down in front of us. This is what was on it, from the beginning.
Hello, I'm Susan Wilde. Okay. I'm Susan Wilde. I want to explain to my coven, to my family, to whoever. I've done the best I can. I promise you all I have, and maybe you're right and I'm wrong, but isn't it at least worth thinking about it? If we can craft goodness out of the universe without channeling against anyone, isn't that something we have to explore? Or don't we need to be sure it won't work before we resort to hexing other people? What if the Magister's Council in 1896 was wrong? What if the original coven was right? What if Minnie Wilde was right? And all the magisters of the 20th century were wrong, and the 21st, and I know what I'm talking about. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel you. It's all here. Your love, your kindness, you were so good. Everyone could always see that, and I know you were, but I don't know what you would do. Would you have told me I should have tried harder to convince them all, or would you have sunk another weight against me as soon as you learned that your daughter was a conjurer? Did I betray you? I've been trying so hard not to. So, I ran away from anything that vaguely seemed like taking a stand. I let Catalyst, let everything be run by Vertumnus, Philippa and Milton and Rex. In their own ways, they all seemed so sure that they wouldn't mess it up. That they were doing the right thing, and I'm still so confused. I don't totally know what I am without Oramana, but I'm also not sure I even know what Oramana is. I mean, it's a secret. You told me that. It would be dangerous to tell my best friend or my girlfriend, but it's beautiful. You taught me that too. The most beautiful thing we can touch in our earthly lives. I'm not sure if I'm more grateful that you showed me the beauty in it, or more angry that you shielded me from so much horror. There's so much horror. I can't. But what do I even do with that when I still feel the waves, the power, the connection?
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Like, is it naive of me to think that Oramana isn't really about tapping into the energy of disasters and living conduits and hexing people? Or is it horrible of them to think that it is all those things? What was it for you? Just tell me. But maybe you were wrong, too. Whatever you would have said. Okay, start over. I'm Susan Wilde. I'm Susan Magdalia Xiomara Wilde. I conjured, yes. And I still think conjuring might be the right way forward. I don't know, but I think, maybe. When Chikovani and the founders first started to practice Oramana, they created good. They didn't call it conjuring then, they called it creating. And for at least 12 or 13 years, there was no documented case of creating bringing in any evil to weigh against the good. I haven't found a single one. And then the first few times the idea of necessary evil came into play, it reads more like superstition. Someone's father died, or their wife. Someone's business venture had unintended consequences. No more often than those things just normally happen, but... some of the Oramana got obsessed. It seems like the first concerted efforts at hexing people didn't happen until the Civil War, and even then it didn't really have the effect... Lissa?
Lissa? What was she doing?
She was painting a message on the wall of Catalyst. She killed them all.
Susan? I didn't think... But maybe it makes sense.
What does?
That you'd catch me. I thought it would be Marlo.
So... you've been the one writing this all over town?
Please, I don't want you to conjure at me or...
Lissa, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Promise?
I promise.
Yeah, I was. Ever since they told me.
Told you what? Who killed them all, Lissa? Minerva Wilde? Because of the people she killed in that landslide?
What? How would I... No. Do you remember Rachel?
Rachel?
Right. No, why would you?
Of course I... Lissa, of course I remember Rachel. She was always reading graphic novels. She had that amazing pink hair. You two joined the coven around the same time, right?
Yeah.
She was on the ferry with my parents. Of course I remember. Why? Why, Lissa?
She must have been so scared and so alone in that water. And nobody even knows.
Knows what?
What happened to them wasn't an accident.
Who was it?
Imogen. She sabotaged the ferry. I think that's why she took that job as a deckhand. She did something to the boat. I don't know what. Rachel left last minute to get her hair redyed in Florence, and no one knew she was going. Imogen called her a necessary loss. She kept trying to make me give her Rachel's stuff to channel through, so I burned it all, and...
Did Rex know? That Imogen was going to...
No. And she said never to tell him. She wanted it to be, like, a present... She thought without your parents in the way, he'd get Catalyst. She only told me because she said I earned it. Like knowing was a prize. She said if I told anyone else, she'd hurt them too. So I thought if I kept writing it down, someone would see it and wonder what it meant and maybe... But Marlo wasn't asking the right questions and I couldn't... I didn't know what to do, how to make her listen. So I thought maybe she'd listen to herself, and I...
You made that clip telling Marlowe she was in danger?
Not just her. On the alignment. Lissa!
What was that?
The scaffolding. The scaffolding collapsed on her. Oh, shit.
Oops.
You. What the fuck?
Damn, that was instant. Happy alignment. Pretty sure you're not allowed up here anymore.
Is it true?
No comment.
Oh, God, okay. Don't move. I'm gonna try to... Imogen, help me lift!
It's not gonna do any good, dude. She's toast.
Get back.
Or what?
Don't you fucking try.
What are you gonna do, conjure at me? Then I guess I'll have to restore the balance for you.
We need to publish this. Today.
Susan, are you sure this...
Yes. I'm sure.
This can backfire. You know that.
Do it.
We should get Clem.
Yeah. Marlowe, start editing. Greg, get your bat.
I took out my laptop and got to work, as Susan and Greg headed into town to find Clem.
Hey, you doing okay?
Yeah. Are you?
It's a little hard to tell, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I'm really glad you're here. Seeing how you were on Christmas was... I tried to keep Marlo from going down there and recording you like that. I didn't realize Rex would.
He wasn't recording then. That was all me. Anyways, it's whatever.
Hey, can I tell you something? It's a little bit... I don't want to weird you out, but... we might need it today.
Sure.
You know anyone can channel, right? Or conjure. Some people more strongly than others, maybe, but... you don't need to officially be Ormana to do it. C wasn't. Clarence Skinner. And you saw what he did with Minnie on the Reel. Their music was written for two people. And my voice echoed in the cave and at Catalyst. I think the harmony makes it stronger.
I have a bad feeling about where this is going.
Hopefully we won't need it. And hey, you're always the one who wants to inflict our high school choir throwbacks on people.
That's different.
Again, hopefully it won't come to that. But even if it did, it could be good practice. For undoing the hex.
Rex said there's a different way.
Yeah, his way is to put the hex on someone else. Someone else's family.
Well, don't you think my family's had it for long enough?
But it doesn't have to be that way. Out of everyone, I thought... You said maybe I wasn't the crazy one in this.
Hold on. Did you see... Pull over.
I'm Susan Magdalia Xiomara Wild. I still think conjuring might be the right way forward.
Hey. Something wrong?
No, we're all good. We just spotted Clem parked off South Loop. Can you play the Imogen tape over the phone when we get to her?
For sure. Yeah.
What do you think she's doing out here?
Come on. Clem! Hey! Seriously? Nothing better to do than hide out here waiting to give speeding tickets?
Clem!
Can you see her?
Yeah, I recognize that hair anywhere. And she's looking right... Hey, Susan? Could you turn on your light?
Yeah, okay.
Oh my god!
Fuck.
Guys?
Marlo? There's a bullet hole in her forehead.
What?
Mig, hey, careful. Don't touch anything.
Gladys Clementine was nicer to me than I ever gave her credit for.
Marlo?
Greg, I don't know what to say.
We can't think about it right now. Wes is still off island. He didn't make it on the ferry out the other morning.
Marlo, what did the code say?
It's done. Time to go.
Shit's definitely about to go down. Lock the door up there, kill the lights. We'll come back and get you, and then... I was really hoping somebody was gonna cut me off.
Give me your phone. We'll go to Island Light. We have to warn Rex. And then we find Imogen.
What about Clem?
What about Clem?
We can't just leave her out there.
Right now, more than anything, I think she would want us to hurry. Right, Nancy Drew?
Please drive safe.
20 minutes later, we were standing outside the door of Island Light. But when we stepped inside, the reception desk, where Alyssa once sat, was empty. Hello? Hello?
Ominous.
Let's check Rex's office. Back here. Maybe stay behind me, just in case.
We started down the hall to Rex's office. It was still silent. What if she's in there with him?
Then this is gonna get interesting. Here we go. Rex?
What if she already got him?
I don't think so. She loves him.
Yeah, but if she...
Marlo's right. Let's check upstairs. If he's not there, we go to Catalyst.
We left Rex's office and headed upstairs. No sign of him. But as we passed the mural of Alexander Chikovani, a slight gust of wind passed through my hair.
Oh, shit. Is someone...
No. It doesn't feel like it.
But you felt that breeze, right?
Yeah. I felt it.
You sure it wasn't channeled?
Yes, I can tell.
It's coming from over here.
Greg looked up at the massive Technicolor painting on the wall. He was right. The breeze was coming off it. The colors that swirled around the figure of Chikovani looked almost sentient. Like he was being enveloped by spirits.
I think it's coming from the edge.
Ghosts.
What?
Guys, look. I think it... No fucking way. It is. It's a...
Stop!
What?
Jasper Cook is behind the ghosts.
What?
It's what Nash said to me. Jasper Cook is behind the ghosts.
All right. Oh, Greg, let me open it.
Okay.
Guys...
Behind the mural, a staircase descended into the darkness. Susan found a light switch at the entrance and flicked it on. It was a basement.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Stay behind me.
Stay... What?
I'm going down.
Mig.
Greg.
Yeah, okay. Lead the way.
The basement seemed normal at first. But as we made our way down the staircase, Greg spotted...
Oh my god.
What?
There. On the wall.
Shackles.
Over there too. And there?
Collateral.
Imogen was hiding him here. This whole time. This is where they kept...
So...
Where'd they take them?
Let's keep looking.
We hurried back up the stairs, out through the painting, and made our way towards the lobby. But Susan stopped at the door that opened to the back hallway. The hallway that housed the converts. And Imogen. Susan.
What? What's back there?
You two should wait outside.
No.
Fuck that.
We're staying.
I don't know if I can keep you safe.
Forget us. What about you?
Greg, I can handle her.
It's probably not just her, Mig.
We're right behind you.
If anything happens, you two run. Ready?
Ready. Yeah.
Stay quiet. Behind me. Clear. Clear. Clear.
The hallway looked exactly as it had the day Lissa took me back there. Every door was open. Shoes were kicked off in the hallway. A cup of steaming coffee sat on the windowsill. Heavy metal music blared from one of the rooms. There was only one thing different.
Clear.
Every room was empty. Everyone was gone. This all just happened. We're going up to Catalyst to warn Rex. The alignment is tonight, and they're starting soon. But I wanted to get this out to you now, just in case. If you don't hear anything from me... I'm Marlo Vern. And this is what happened in Skinner. Wish us luck.
What Happened in Skinner is produced by Mazama Entertainment and presented by Rusty Quill. Original music by Aureli Webb. And I'm your host, Marlo Vern.